The Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle Show contains explicit language and is intended for mature audiences only. But just because you're mature doesn't mean you can't be a little naughty.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? WrestleMania 39 is right around the corner as of this recording, and we are back once again. Your WrestleMania 39 preview and predictions hosted by the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle Show. I am Don, Tony, which means he is...
Kev Castle. What's going on, man? What's up, everybody?
How you doing? How's your anticipation level to WrestleMania 39? Does it feel, based on a couple of storylines, that it's much more anticipated in recent years? Or is the fact that there's just, you know, a couple of storylines that have made it, you know, what it is today? Is it a two-match event that we're going to remember? Or are there a lot of hidden gems that we might actually talk about years from now?
I think it's like twofold. I'm looking forward to it. Like, I'm excited. I always like the end of March, beginning of April. The weather starts getting better. You know, it's brighter out later. I was just talking to my friend. We went out to eat about 7:30. It was bright as hell out. I'm like, yeah, you could feel spring is in the air. And I just, you know, it was still cool out. But like, I like this weather. I like the vibe of this season. And it's WrestleMania season. So, yeah, and I look forward to it anyway. And I said it last week on my show on Patreon, that I feel like I can't lose either way, because I like the two big matches. I like both sides. I like Reigns, and I like Cody, and I like the Usos, and I like Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. So I don't feel like I lose either way. I'm not, like, stressing over someone winning or losing, because I think there's all sorts of possibilities if Reigns retains, if Cody wins, if the Usos, I think, are going to lose. But, I mean, we'll get into predictions, but yeah. And Ray finally popping his son in the crowd. That was a great, you know, another, probably the second best story in all of wrestling that's gone on for, what, 6 months? Maybe longer with that.
Yeah.
It played out. The payoff was nice for the crowd there. It was a super pop. I kept watching it, you know, over and over again on YouTube. That's always a good sign. So, yeah, no, it's the three or four matches for me. I wouldn't say it was just the big two. I'm going to add Ray and Dom on that. And I'm kind of looking forward to Edge and Finn Balor, because I'm hearing a possibility of the Brood reforming with Gangrel and Christian, with permission from Tony Khan, if that's real, against Judgment Day. That's a match made in hell, so to speak. I'd love to see a reformation of the Brood with Gangrel and Christian to take his back at the cage against Priest and whoever, whether it's Rhea. So there's a lot of things I'm hearing, you know, the thing, like you talk about LA Knight, possibility of Steve Austin coming out and, you know, stunning somebody. There's a lot of good possibility. The only thing I don't believe is going to happen, I really don't think we're going to see The Rock this year. I don't think he will be there.
No, I don't think so either. I think there's enough fans that believe that, you know, when the reports came out that he didn't have enough time to get in shape, and then you see him jacked at the gym like 10 minutes later with the selfies, you know, I think there's enough fans that might express a little bit of bitterness. That, you know, and I don't think it's deserving. I don't think anybody should really shit on The Rock. And honestly, this year, even though they're in Hollywood, this year was not the year to bring The Rock in. It was not needed, which is kind of amazing when you think about that. The Rock is not needed for a WrestleMania event. And this is not the CM Punk mindset that, you know, oh, no part-timer should come in and, you know, take someone's spot and this and that. Even though technically, if he were to come in, he would be doing the very same thing. But, you know, I'll say this. You know, you brought up the Brood. And, you know, I do the Wednesday show, Wednesday Night Dynamite. And, you know, it's a niche show because if you don't follow AEW and you don't really watch NXT, there's really no reason to tune in. I mean, the Impact coverage in MLW is not enough unless there's controversy going on. But I have been talking about Christian going back to WWE this year for at least the last 2 or 3 months. You know, when Christian returned and he started feuding with Jungle Boy, you know, the first thing that I actually asked on my show a few times is, you know, how many years has he signed with AEW? Because nobody paid attention to it, but I did. We had approached the anniversary of his signing, you know, when he showed up and, you know, outwork everyone and all that shit. And, you know, I put it out there, and unfortunately, no one, you know, that has connections is going to do the legwork unless, you know, they're the ones to bring it up. You know what I mean? Like, even with Kenny Omega, when Meltzer brought up that they were going to add additional time to his contract because of injury, you know, my first thing I brought out there was, how are they handling his executive role? I mean, just because he was injured doesn't mean that he didn't do his executive role. You know, he could be in a wheelchair. He could be Joey 924 style and still do his executive role. You know what I mean? So, but nobody ever asked a question. So nobody bothered to answer the question. And with Christian, I've been saying for a couple of months now, is he signed for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years? How many years? No one could ask that question, answer that question. Yeah. And then they announced the, you know, the buried match. And I was like, huh. You know, they're doing a storyline where Jungle Boy wants a singular championship in 2023. I seriously doubt, even on Tony Khan's level, that, you know, he wouldn't be able to, you know, to, he wouldn't be able to lose to Christian. You know what I mean? The whole storyline would be stupid if he just lost to Christian. Christian gets buried, and I'm like, all right, no one is still asking the question, what's the deal with Christian's contract?
Yeah.
I have a feeling he's done with AEW.
He probably is. He probably is. You're right. And, you know, and Gangrel's been active. He still wrestles. So I can see the three of them getting back together. I think it makes sense. Judgment Day, Hell in a Cell, Dark Faction versus Dark Faction. It writes itself. I'd be shocked if that doesn't come to fruition. And that's another, that'll be a big crap popper. I think Christian comes out.
Yeah.
And that'll be huge. Because, of course, Edge did this, you know, shtick before where he came out to the fire ring, but never with the three of them reuniting like this. So that would be pretty big. And if you're going to do it in WrestleMania. So yeah, there's a lot of different things I'm looking forward to. At first, I thought it was all about Reigns, Cody, Usos, and Sammy and Kevin. But now I'm looking at the outside of it. There could be other, like you said, possibilities and little Easter eggs or things booked last minute, or maybe they were planned all along and we just didn't know. So I'm just going to enjoy it because I certainly enjoyed WrestleMania last year, the two nights. So I'm looking forward to it. I have no hang-ups about it at all. That's why when you even asked me to do this, and obviously we were doing it for a couple of different reasons, but I'm like, yeah, I'm looking forward to WrestleMania. I mean, this will be a fun show because I don't see it as this like bummer trip or like, you know, it was poorly planned and there could have been bigger things and this one better win and that one better win. I'm fine. And that's what you're talking about doing next week, maybe doing a special show that you'll make an announcement about to do the results of WrestleMania. I have a feeling it'll be a positive review. I think they're going to, I don't know if they'll hit a home run like last year. Obviously the Austin night was better than the other night. But I'm looking forward to it. I don't have any, I was arguing with some friends today that I was out with, not arguing, but they're like, I don't know, it's just lackluster buildup. And I'm like, oh, it's, come on, man. It's like, I don't know, man. I don't feel that way. I feel excited about it, you know?
Well, I'll say two things. Number one, if 2023 is Edge's last year in the pro wrestling ring, it would not feel completed unless Christian was involved in it in some capacity. That's why I'm almost convinced that Christian is gone from AEW, or he's on loan. I mean, you never know. You never know. I feel he's gone. And, you know, I don't want to be left with the same feeling that I was left with Kurt Angle, that his last match was against Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just, that's not the way to go out. That, they did Kurt Angle dirty, and I don't, and I'm not saying they would do Edge dirty by Christian not being back, but I have this real strong feeling he might be back. Now, as far as next week, all right, I'm going to just tell everybody straight out. I mean, look, we go back, you know, 19 years you know, close to 20. If 20, we, yeah. You know, close to 20. And, you know, we tell it like it is, whether people like it or not. You know, we would, you know, the idea of doing something again together was thought about for a little while. And, you know, a lot of people on Patreon were pushing for it. And, you know, I made it public because, you know, Ronnie did want a little bit of public thank you for it. I appreciate it. But Ronnie's COLO, Ronnie C., I don't know how he, I think he's Ronnie Crack Donald on YouTube. You know, he sent us a nice little gift, you know, financially.
Yeah, thank you, Ronnie.
By the way. And, you know, on Sunday's show, he, you know, I didn't know if it was a joke or not. He's like, hey, what if I up the offer and you guys do a WrestleMania recap? And I want to make this clear for everyone out there. You know, we're doing this because everybody who has supported us, everybody who never left us, those who may have left and have come back to support us, that's why we're doing this. But as far as the financial side of it as well, in 2023, in this economy, I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, you know, you hear, you know, I was mentioning this the other day. I bought a half a pound of American cheese from a supermarket deli, and it was $14.99 a pound.
Jesus.
You know, I mean, you want to get organic eggs, fine. You're going to pay extra money, but $9 a dozen for eggs. I mean, everything is super, super expensive. And the thing that I have realized, and we touched on this last week on Patreon, is that when we announced that we were going to do an episode together again, that podcast Forbidden Door, it was really glaring at all of the, especially the podcasters that are all in this big time financially and didn't even like mention, even people that were supposedly good friends of ours didn't even mention like, hey, these guys are the OGs that go back 20 years and they're getting together for a special episode. And, you know, you brought up the point. If it was Patreon, okay, everybody battles for Patreon, but when it's a free show, you know, it really stuck out to me that, okay, I'm realizing now that everybody that's out there in the podcasting world in 2023 is out there for financial benefit more than anything else. Clickbait, lie, say that the Saudis bought WWE, that Mercedes is absolutely guaranteed 100% positively debuting as the mystery partner in for Dynamite. I realize that people will just lie and lie and lie and lie and lie. You know, people, even the day that Shawn Michaels revealed that Gargano was returning, I pointed this out. For 2 weeks straight, I put thumbnails and talked about it. Gargano is the obvious logical choice. And, you know, and I watched people who, you know, I value as pretty astute, established journalists, and all clickbaiting up until that night of NXT's reveal of Gargano. They're all clickbaiting and Shawn Michaels was returning to the ring. Yeah. And it hit me. I'm like, you know what? If we're going to continue doing this and people are like so, you know, like so triggered by it or just miffed that they can't even just mention a shout out or something. Like, are they that nervous that we might take away people? So look, the bottom line is this, you know, Monty and the Pharaoh, I'm going to shout them out right now. Monty and the Pharaoh, he sent me a DM the other day, a couple other people in wrestling as well.
Nice guys.
And, you know, some people who are on TV right now send me DMs like, wow, very, very cool. You two guys have ironed shit out and everything. But I'll mention Monty's because Monty said, he's like, look, he's like, it's cool that you two are back together and getting along and everything. But, you know, you shouldn't have left in the first place because people don't necessarily have to get along to do business and that. And I understand his point. But the thing is that if I'm not having fun talking to you and you're not having fun talking to me, it's going to show. It's going to be revealed. And, you know, the bottom line is this. In this day and age where everybody, you know, puts money before even friendship or, you know, just acquaintances online, and we have experienced that the last 2 weeks, we're like, you know what? If people want to financially help us a little bit, you know, send we're going to do it. We're going to do it, bottom line. So, you know, Ronnie, and I even said to you yesterday privately, I said, hey, you guys want to pass around the collection plate and you want to, you know, contribute a little bit? You know, absolutely. You know, we're not going to put it on YouTube. We're not going to put, like, merch. We're not going to, if anything is given, it's going to be split down the middle and that's it. You know, by what Kev said a few moments ago about doing something special next week, I guess, you know, if you're down with it, I'm down with it as well. I'm not going to do recaps Saturday and Sunday online. because everybody and their grandmother is going to be doing one. And then this, a week from today, Tuesday, we'll do a WrestleMania recap. And what's cool is we could also talk about the fact that the night after Raw, the Raw after WrestleMania had already gone down. So that'll be a little bit extra because you know what's going to happen. People on Saturday or Sunday are going to be like, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if? Because Raw after WrestleMania didn't happen yet. So if we do it next Tuesday, that Raw has already gone down.
We can get a lot of fallout and stuff that happens thereafter and put it all together.
Yeah.
So I like that. So we're back here again next Tuesday for everyone?
Yeah, if you're down for it, I'm down for it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
10:05 p.m., I'm down for that.
And one other thing I want to just say in closing with this. You know, I don't want anybody who, you know, primarily accesses content on YouTube to think that, oh, that's fucked up. It's a, understand something. You know, it's I don't do YouTube to make money off of it. Super chats are 95% of any revenue that comes in from there. I could screenshot episodes. You know, you get $1.73 for air. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what people think you do on YouTube, but the bottom line is that, you know, if we're going to spend hours, days, weeks doing stuff, you know, you got to really maximize your time and try to benefit from it as much as possible. And if people out there are so annoyed, you know, not necessarily personally annoyed with us, but business-wise annoyed that, oh, my God, DTKC are going back to the scene a little bit. You know, I got to ignore it and not act like I didn't even hear about it. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, let's get back to number one on what was that, Spreaker that time?
We were
Brigham and Joe Rogan, those two weeks.
Yeah, we were. Well, it was 2015.
It was 2015. Rogan, yeah. Number one on Spreaker, not wrestling shows, not sports shows, any show. It was the most mind-boggling. Yeah, that was mind-boggling.
Was that the year of, was that the Rolling Stone year, or that was 2016?
I think Rolling Stone might have been the year before.
16.
Yeah.
No, it was
the year after, yes, the year after.
Yeah, 16.
So, all right, so anyway, everybody's here for WrestleMania predictions, since we talked a lot about Christian and Edge and the Brood, let's open up with that match. Hell in a Cell, Finn Balor. This is, I hope, the swan song in some capacity between the Judgment Day and Edge. And, you know, you brought up the Christian factor. There's rumors of Gangrel possibly showing up. So, since Damian Priest does not have a match at WrestleMania, does Damian Priest become the sole person at ringside with Finn Balor, and we get a surprise of Christian, and he negates Damian Priest, and in my opinion, this allows Edge to do an insane spot and beats Finn Balor, the Demon.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It can definitely be that. I mean, you're right. Damian Priest doesn't – I think he's – is he in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal this Friday?
Damian Priest isn't – yeah, and I want to say this again because, you know, I brought this up Saturday, and it's a shame. You know, as soon as they announced that Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, Bobby Lashley's in it, LA Knight is in it, some others.
Cross,
are in it.
Cross,
you know, yeah. And, you know, that doesn't mean that some of these guys are not also going to be at WrestleMania. We've had many people wrestle on a SmackDown and then 2 days later wrestle on pay-per-view. So just because they're in the Battle Royal, guys, doesn't mean they're not going to appear on Sunday. But, you know, Damian Priest, I think, is going to have a really good showing in this Battle Royal. And I think if he tries to get involved in this Hell in a Cell, you know, I mean, I don't know how good he is as far as climbing, you know, that high up. Like, I think I'd be a little nervous if Damian Priest started climbing to the top of the cell.
Yeah, I mean, he's 6'7". I mean, so he's a big boy. But, you know, he's lean. He's in great shape. But, I'm not sure. But Christian definitely will play into it. If it's the whole Brood, you know, you hear different things. Again, if it's Gangrel, Christian, great. If it's just Christian, great. I don't see it. You know, there's no losing there for any fan. And you're right. Someone's going to have to negate what Damian Priest does to battle him. And nobody better than Christian. And, you know, the crowd will go freaking crazy. Anything retro, nostalgic from the Attitude Era. I mean, Al Snow could show up. The crowd would go nuts. So, I think Edge wins this one. Yeah. I don't know if it's that important for Balor to win, because people are like, oh, Edge is – Balor's still going to be around. He's still technically in his prime. Edge is, 12, 15 years his senior. I don't know if that means anything. I mean, I don't know. It's a win for the feud. It's yes. not a title match or anything. Does Balor really lose if he does the job?
No.
DT, does he lose anything?
Yeah. No. I mean, the Demon coming back as the Demon is going to be amazing spectacle. Yeah. But I will say this, it is going to look a little strange. Like, I don't think Damian Priest is actually going to walk to the ring with the Demon. It would look kind of corny if you think about it.
He's crawling on the floor and Damian Priest.
Yeah, Damian Priest, I think he would be like awkward. So I think maybe Damian Priest shows up like halfway through the match.
Tries to throw him a weapon or something. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. I don't think he comes out.
Yeah, once he takes the garb off and the makeup starts wearing off a little bit, it looks pretty much like Finn Balor, so. But, I'm going with Edge. I think I think he gets it. I'm hoping for a Christian return. But I will say this. If Christian returns, that would be epic. If he helps Edge win, that would be tremendous. But I have to admit, Christian on the mic in AEW was fucking phenomenal. That guy was, look, you and I talked about this many, many years ago when he was feuding with John Cena. That there was a moment that we felt like he was becoming bigger than John Cena. Yeah. And they pulled the rug from underneath them.
They did.
I don't know if I want Christian to remain a babyface. Yeah, in fact, you know what? I wonder, towards the latter part of the year, we have Christian versus Edge retirement match. Because it's not out of the question that Christian possibly considers retirement as well. Maybe Christian ultimately turns on Edge. We get that heel Christian like we've had in AEW. And then ultimately maybe the retirement match between Edge and Christian. And then maybe after the match is over, they hug it.
Does anybody know, is Edge and Christian 50 already, or their next birthday is 50?
I will keep my Google opened for future, if we got to check anything else, but I will tell you right now, Edge is, Edge. I can't just put Edge, then it just, I see Microsoft Edge. Edge is going to be 50 on October 30th, the day before Halloween.
Oh, wow, and Christian is same
Cage,
age,
so, yeah. He is 49. I don't, for some reason, wait a minute. They don't show his birthday? You mean to tell me all these years we don't know when Christian's
November
birthday is?
November 30th is Christian's birthday.
Okay, so he'll be 50 in November.
Yeah, they both turned 50 this year. So maybe they both are looking to retire. Maybe a retirement match in Survivor Series, perhaps. Who knows?
Possibly. Yeah. So we're both going with Edge to take this
Edge,
one.
Yeah.
Okay. You pick the next match you want to talk about. We'll go back and forth.
Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair.
Okay. Rhea Ripley, Charlotte Flair. The big controversy for the last 2 weeks, and I don't think there is one, but people created it, is that they're going to close out night one. I don't believe that for a second. I'm a huge Charlotte Flair fan. I would love if Rhea Ripley were to win, but I just picture the scenario of Charlotte retaining or even Rhea winning. And we have fireworks to close out night one. Rhea Ripley's not a babyface. She will be emotional. But I just can't picture going off the air night one of WrestleMania with either Rhea or Charlotte holding the championship in the air. That might be the second to last match of night one, but this match, I tell you, I am a huge supporter of Rhea Ripley. I feel like she's got to win because of their last Mania match from a couple of years ago. I think it's got to be even 1-1. I'm not feeling Charlotte Flair as a babyface. The promo she cut on SmackDown, getting the what chance, and her getting a little bit annoyed with it, you could see her money is a heel. The only thing with Rhea Ripley winning, and I've brought this up a few times already, is that it would be really interesting to see what happens with Judgment Day, because if she wins, she is a SmackDown star. She can wrestle on Raw, but that would be an interesting storyline that, Dom is a Raw wrestler and Rhea would be SmackDown. But I'm going to go with Rhea only because the way they went with this storyline, reminding us that a couple of years ago she wasn't ready and, Charlotte, yeah. I need to cement my legacy. I just feel if she fails, it's too heavily on the side of Charlotte Flair. I'm going to go Rhea Ripley to win.
Yeah, I'm going to go Rhea Ripley, too. I mean, the one thing about Rhea Ripley is if she wins the women's title, she has to kind of lose that she's the Judgment Day henchman thing, that China for DX kind of thing that she has, where she comes out and muscles everybody out. She's got to defend the title and be like that kind of champion. More concerned with defending the women's title than being a henchwoman for a faction. I don't know. I just think there's little changes that have to happen for Rhea Ripley's, not just like her character, but just the way she dresses and carries herself as the champ. I think it is her comeuppance. They keep saying this is a different Rhea Ripley from a few years ago. It is. And also they want Charlotte to have more multiple title wins under her belt. I mean, maybe 20 when it's all said and done, you know, beating her dad. How many titles is Charlotte at now? 14, 13,
I believe.
Yeah. They want Charlotte to get more titles under her belt, break the record, be, you know, untouchable, kind of in the Roman Reigns realm, not like Reigns, but in that thing where no one's going to top it out of any of the women, including Becky. So yeah, I'm going to go Rhea too. I mean, I like Charlotte too. I watched the doc, by the way, the other day on Charlotte. Good doc, you know, good doc. Never realized that Charlotte had so many self-confidence problems, like her dad. I guess it's something that runs in the family, like anxiety-wise and stuff. Someone so good, she has such self-doubt about herself. So if anybody didn't watch it, it's an interesting watch. It's about 42 minutes long with commercials. But Charlotte gets kind of, and they do reveal, even though her husband doesn't work for this company anymore, he got a mention and got some camera time on the documentary.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I think living in the shadow growing up as Ric Flair's daughter and getting into this business, I think there's a lot of pressure that, you know, I want to earn everything that I get. And do I really? Because I brought this up many times, you know, like when you see a wrestler in a certain position, you say to yourself, you know, if that wrestler at night was in the hotel room and looked in the mirror and they say to themselves, you know, did I really deserve this, or did I really earn this position, or am I getting it because of this, or that? I think Charlotte Flair has had a lot of pressure growing up, you know, that is she.
Oh, yeah,
that
definitely has pressure.
Rams fan, as far as when was the last time a tag match closed WrestleMania, as far as, you know, Charlotte and Rhea not closing Mania, when was the last time we had a tag team storyline that has been this strong with this much magnitude with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn? I mean, just everything that is built up to this point, to me, there is no argument. The tag match closes WrestleMania. That feel-good moment, that, you know, the crying, the emotion, the fireworks, the confetti, just, and then you realize we still got another night.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's going to be an emotional roller coaster. So I just put, you know, like vaginas and testicles aside for a minute, put gender aside for a minute. Just picture night one going off the air with Charlotte winning. Picture night one going off the air with Rhea winning. Picture night one going off the air with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn winning. And you tell me if it's even close as far as the emotion, the reaction, the fans going home. I mean, hell, WWE hasn't even announced which matches are going to be on which nights. Imagine someone that only has a ticket for night one. I mean, they know that the Usos, Sammy, and Kevin are going to be on night one. But imagine going into night one and you only have two or three matches announced. Or even night two. You know, you only have one match announced. So, you know, I think you have them go out off the air with Owens and Zayn in the ring. I don't think it gets any better than that.
Yeah, that would be ridiculous. And forget PC, forget, you know, anything other, the only thing you have to do, and it's nothing to do with women, men, equality, has to do with what's right, the cliche, what's right and best for business.
Yeah.
And that is absolutely best for business. I think even female fans would say, hey, listen, I'm supportive of the women's division, but come on, this storyline is one of the biggest things in wrestling. I think it's going to be one of the biggest things in the last 20 years in wrestling, let alone biggest thing in recent times, decades.
Yeah. All right. I'll pick the next match. Let's go with Brock Lesnar versus Omos. I'll say it just like this. I paid attention to The Undertaker recently saying that Omos tries to soak everything up in wrestling like a glove, like a sponge, that he would love to be a mentor for Omos. Brock Lesnar chose Omos for WrestleMania. I feel bad for Omos that he's getting this much hate online, you know, and it's the cake and ice cream. Everything has got to be ice cream. Everything has got to be perfect. Like, oh, Brock Lesnar, Moss, who the fuck asked for that? I didn't ask for that match, and I personally wouldn't have wanted it. But when I hear how much, you know, the not only the legends, but the big men who are singing this praise to Omos, you know, it's like, okay, maybe there's something more there than what we have perceived. And plus,
he
had a great match with Braun Strowman in Saudi Arabia. I mean, he has improved. I look, in my opinion, Brock Lesnar is going to beat Omos, but this is going to help Omos. Standing toe-to-toe with Brock Lesnar, and, you know, it's probably going to be a little sloppy. I think Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar are two majorly different wrestlers that Braun probably adapts to his opponent a little bit better than Brock does. But, you know, I think this is great for Omos. And if Omos cares about wrestling this much, cares about improving this much, put him against Brock Lesnar. Give him a little test. So I'm actually looking forward to this match. I hope it's good, but I'm going with Brock Lesnar to win.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Brock Lesnar to win, too. I don't think there's no tell just because Brock is on the receiving end of kind of getting, let's say, for lack of better words, bitched out by Omos last few interactions. I don't think that is indicative of how the match is going to go. I think that Brock will end up pulling it out in the end, whether it's a submission, jumping on his back, getting him in a certain suplex where it looks like he knocks out Omos. I'm thinking maybe a back suplex where Omos takes it, looks like he hits his head and gets the pin. It'll be some sort of extreme move that puts Omos's, you know, on shoulders to the mat. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Brock Lesnar, too, because people would say, well, Brock puts Reigns over, he puts Seth Rollins over, why don't he put Omos over? I don't know. I think it's a special attraction match. It's just like you said, DT, it's not like all the matches have to be like some, like you know, Luthez versus Kurt Angle. I mean, there's a few attraction matches. I talked about it the other day. WrestleMania 3, Hillbilly Jim with the Midgets versus King Kong Bundy. You know, it was entertaining. You know, I didn't take it seriously. You could say, hey, Bundy was in the cage with Hogan a year before in WrestleMania 2. So, yeah, sometimes I don't even see it as a demotion. I think, listen, there's a lot of guys who are left off of WrestleMania. And I think just to be part of it, and look, Omos, I don't think is going anywhere. And Brock is Brock. He does what he does. But for some reason, I think Brock has did the job enough at the last few WrestleManias. He's going to get this one. And Omos will still be around. I don't think that means a bus flip and a release for Omos. As some people are saying, it's a tell. If Omos loses and gets pinned decisively by Lesnar, he's done in the WWE. Do you believe that, Anthony? I don't think
so. No, not at all. Yeah, not at all. I think we're going to get similar to the Bianca Belair moments. You know, Brock will pick up Omos with the F5, and we will just hear Michael Cole shout at the top of his lungs, you know, 400+ pounds, and Brock picks him up like a child. I'm just curious if MVP ends up turning on Omos. I get this weird vibe that Omos is turning babyface soon. I don't know why. I just get that vibe. I just wonder if MVP turns on Omos. I feel like we need at least one turn at Mania, whether it's babyface or heel. And I just wonder if Omos does lose. I wonder if MVP gets, you know, with the cane, like, you know, like hitting Omos in the chest. Like, what's wrong with you? You know, you lost. And maybe Omos, you know, it's not going to be Andre the Giant love, but, you know, I almost
feel
like...
No, it could be love. I think you're right, dude. I think just, you know, some people say about our friend Cross, like, what could they do with them? I'm like, one thing that no one's thinking about, turn him fucking babyface.
Yeah.
So, like, put him in a faction, make him more evil. What? How about make him a fucking good guy? And especially with Scarlett, forget about it. It'd be all them Macho Man and Liz. Make them over. Make fans want to like them. I mean, what's what? Everyone's always got to be a more vicious heel. They need good guys, too. Good guys sell merch. Omos, you're right. Omos could probably, again, be something for the kids, be something for if he can act maybe a little goofy because people are like, oh, he's going to act like, what's his name? The Indian giant who turned babyface and dancing. Yeah, Kali. Yeah, but you know what? It was kind of fun and funny when Kali was dancing in the Kali cam, I thought was funny.
Yeah.
I mean, and it'll prolong his career. Why does he have to be an even more evil heel? Turn these guys babyface if heel's not working.
Yeah, I agree. I think. You know, there was a lot of pressure for Omos against Braun Strowman in Saudi Arabia.
There was.
Braun
there
had just returned. you know, people, I think some people were hoping for Braun's, you know, demise. Braun, I think overall has done excellent since he's been back.
It's over. Crowd's cheerful.
Yeah, crowd loves him. So I think now Omos coming off of that match, now he's getting another big boy. You know, so I think, yeah, I even if Omos loses, if he puts on a good performance, I think he wins in this one.
Yeah.
You know. All right, you pick the next match.
Next match, the six-woman tag.
Okay.
Bailey and her buddies. Bailey's, what's her name?
Damage Control.
Damage Control versus Trish Stratus, Lita, and Becky Lynch. Lita and Becky, of course, are the current tag team champions. I'm on the fence about this, and there's two narratives that are going around, Anthony. I don't know if you spoke about it on some of your solo shows. One, that Trish Stratus is looking not right. She's looking at our team. She's got kind of a nasty, like kind of an angry look on her face. Is Trish going to turn heel? But what I don't, is she extended contract? Is she going to wrestle? Why would she? That would kind of be a major move, and she would have to stick around. People are saying to me, even some of the shows, you know, some of the more admirable shows out there, that Trish could be turning heel. The other one I'm hearing is the consistent losses of Bailey's Damage Crew. Those two are going to turn on Bailey and beat the shit out of her, thus bringing Bailey back to the old school hugging Bailey. Bailey's a babyface again because her heel run is another one that's probably run its course. And her team is always on the losing end of everything. Will Sky and Dakota turn and beat her down after they lose again at this match? Because I believe they are going to lose again to the trio of Trish, Lita, and Becky. So I think you're talking about turns or flips or switches. That's one match we got to watch for a possible flip from either side.
Well, this is what I think about Trish. First of all, she just did an interview. I forget with who, but it was interesting. They asked her Mount Rushmore for women. And, you know, I brought this up when Undertaker gave his Mount Rushmore recently. Very recently. I think when wrestlers are asked about Mount Rushmore, I think it's basically not who they believe is the overall Mount Rushmore. That we, or, you know what I mean? It's like who inspired them or gets them going. You know what I mean? That's the more wrestlers are asked about Mount Rushmore, it's what they perceive, the ones who mentored them. And Trish was asked about her Mount Rushmore and her answer. And it's interesting because a lot of people online did not like her answer. She chose Bailey, Lita, Sasha Banks, and herself.
Oh, interesting.
She put herself on the Mount Rushmore. So people are like, oh, you didn't put Becky, you didn't put Charlotte. First of all, I don't think either one of them should be on a Mount Rushmore yet.
Not yet.
Think about that. I am 100% in agreement with what you said, because I pointed this out too. If Trish Stratus were to turn heel, you know, and I had a few people last week arguing with me about this, and I said, okay, you know, okay, she turns heel. And is she going to keep wrestling? Like, oh, I didn't really think about that. Like, she turns heel and then what? Is she, now, what I think could happen is maybe if she turns, maybe she manages Bailey.
Or she joins Damage Control.
Or she maybe manage. I don't know, but the only thing it's stopping me about a Trish Stratus heel turn right now is how long is she going to be wrestling? Like, we have Saudi Arabia in May. And
right,
I could see Saudi Arabia, ooh, Trish Stratus, yes, we would love to have her on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I could see her wrestling in Saudi Arabia for a gigantic payday. The only thing is, Lita and Becky are still tag champs. So I personally think if Trish is going to really turn, it's not going to be at WrestleMania. She may turn. This is how I envision her turning, if she does. Trish Stratus was the reason why Lita and Becky Lynch became tag champs. Trish Stratus will be the reason why Lita and Becky Lynch are no longer tag champs.
I can picture Trish
cutting a promo. Lita, I got you the title, and I took it away. And I think we possibly could see Trish Stratus fighting at Saudi Arabia. So I personally think at WrestleMania, there is no turn. There might be an accidental hit. Maybe Becky inadvertently hits Trish. Maybe Lita does it. They still get the win. They still are happy on top. But there's still a little doubt in people's minds that Trish may turn down the line. Maybe she turns at backlash. But at WrestleMania, I do not see a Trish turn. But if it's going to happen, I think it happens after Mania. I think it leads to a Saudi match, and then she leaves again.
Yeah, I'm thinking that too. Or maybe she can turn, and then her and Bayley challenge Becky, and like, you know, they got one legend and one like modern star and one old school star on each team. I mean, that would be great too. That's a big marquee match.
Yep.
Bayley and you know, Trish against Lita and Becky. That's big time.
Yes.
No pun intended.
Yeah. So far every match we have talked about, we are in agreement.
Yeah.
Trish, Lita, and Becky will get the win over Damage Control. But I don't believe there's going to be a turn at Mania. I don't think it would make sense.
There'll be seeds planted, but maybe not a full turn.
Yeah, I think you got to go with Trish was the reason why Lita, well, in her mind, I'm the reason why you and Becky won the tag champs. Now I'm the reason why you and Becky lost the tag championships.
It's true. And remember when they feuded and they had the feud on that A&E show with Becky, you know, Trish was usually always the bad girl when she fought Lita, mm-hmm. Except for the time when they fought again and Lita was back with Edge as Edge's girlfriend. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I think just seeds will be planted. You're right. And not everything, because we're going to get to the main matches soon, but yeah. Not everything. I think everyone's under a false, thing that, you know, all these things have to come to fruition at WrestleMania. No, they don't.
Right. All right, let's get into the two sets of showcase matches. There's two Fatal 4-Ways tag team matches going down. On the men's side, we have Braun Strowman and Ricochet versus the Street Profits versus Alpha Academy versus the Viking Raiders. On the women's side, we have Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez versus Shotzi and Natalya versus Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville versus Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler. Which match would you like to talk about first?
First, the men's match. You know, I look at those teams. I know Ricochet and Braun are a hot team right now. But I think the Street Profits are still always in it. They're always amazing in the ring. I think, you know, you never give up on those two. And again, they both have future. Especially Montez Ford has big upside as a future solo star. We've been talking about that for the last couple of years on all different shows. But I'm going to go with the Street Profits. Even though Braun and Ricochet are hot, I don't think it's a chance in hell it's going to be the Raiders. But I'm just going to go with the Street Profits. I'm going to go with them. But then, and you know, to cut to the chase for the women's matches, I know we want to get more in depth to the big mm-hmm. matches. I'm going to go with the Karen connection. Chelsea Green and what's her name?
Sonya Deville.
Sonya. Yeah. By the way, what do you know? I still don't know. And I'm like, look for inside information all the time. Where is Carmella? Why has that team been evaporated of her and Chelsea Green? Is she injured?
Supposedly she got injured. I actually asked a few people to try to find out what the extent of the injury was. And the only thing that I was told so far was that she wasn't fully ready to return, that she might have had a couple of physical bumps in the road.
Okay.
She had that, you know, tremendous medical issue where I forget what the medical term is again, but she got pregnant, and I think the ovary, the fetus, it just like goes to like the side, and I ectopic pregnancy. Thank you, Rams fan. I explained it in detail on one of the shows, but it's not just a physical, you know, issue, but emotionally that just tears you apart. But you know, right now she is not medically able to, you know, to basically go. And I kind of like the Sonya Deville fill in because Chelsea Green has been feuding with Adam Pearce, and Sonya has that history with Adam Pearce, so yeah. It almost makes sense. But by process of elimination, I just, you know, like, I don't think they're going to be a tag team for the long haul. I think Carmella will be back sooner than we think. Natty and Shotzi, no chance in hell.
No chance.
Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez, maybe. I don't see it. I don't feel it. I think Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler are going to win it. I think even though Ronda's got the issue with the elbow, I think Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler, could you just imagine if Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler end up being the ones to dethrone Becky Lynch and Lita for the tag titles? Like, I think one step ahead. You know? They did not announce that the winner gets a title shot, but I almost feel like they have to. Like, it's not just maybe they chose the term showcase to downplay that it's not a number one contenders match, that it's a showcase. We're just showcasing teams.
Showcase, yeah.
You know, so maybe they deliberately use the term showcase to make us feel like, oh, these matches are more, you know, just to showcase certain people. I don't know. I just feel that whoever wins, it's got to lead to a title match. I'm going to go with Ronda and Shayna to take it.
Yeah, the men, I got to say, even though it was put together as a makeshift team, they are, again, the crowd reactions are solid for Braun and Ricochet. Yeah. They really are.
The only reason why I'm not going with them is because they won that tournament,
right,
and they got the title shot with the Usos, and they failed, so I don't see them getting, you know, again, I know there's no title shot, you know, it's not a number one contenders match, but I don't know, I just don't feel that. The Viking Raiders, I'm with you also, they keep trying, and it's something, it ain't sticking, sorry.
No, it's not sticking, no.
Alpha Academy, I think we may see the breakup of that team.
Yes,
we're probably going to have Maxxine Dupri show up at ringside, and then maybe, you know,
Otis abandons.
He's going to look at Chad, he's going to look at Maxxine, and he's going to look at Chad, and he's going to look at Maxxine, and the crowd is going to try to get him to stay with Chad, and Otis is going to walk off with Maxxine Dupri.
Well, that could be the switch too, right? Like you said, you expect to see one or two turns, or, you know, face to heel or heel to face. And I told you, I gave a weird prediction, just an offshoot fan prediction, that since Braun is probably definitely going to drop the title, more and more I believe it's Carmelo Hayes this weekend, Braun goes to the main roster, right, and I'm telling you, put him with Chad. I just see it. I think it just works.
Yeah, Braun Breaker is fucking great. And, you know, it's a shame that people who don't watch NXT on a regular basis don't understand why the NXT crowd is like going against Braun. It's not because they don't like him. It's because they're tired. They're tired of him.
Yeah, he's been champ long enough now. Yeah,
yeah, it's time for Carmelo Hayes to take the reign. And like I said this, when Stand and Deliver, you know, when that goes down and Braun loses, you know, I think the crowd is going to solidly be behind Carmelo Hayes. It'll probably be split, you know, just for the entertainment purposes. But I think when Braun gets up, he's going to get a standing ovation from that crowd. And I like the idea what you said about Braun and Chad Gable maybe doing something either together or apart. But I got to ask you a question, something that's been in the back of my mind. I want to choose the Street Profits also for WrestleMania. And that's the team I'm actually going to go with. So far, you and I, the only match so far you and I are not in agreement with is the women's Fatal 4-Way.
Right,
but let me ask you this. Is there any chance Angelo Dawkins turns on Montez at WrestleMania?
That's what I'm saying. There's just so many, but how many turns can they do? I've never really thought about, and maybe you could tell me, Anthony, or someone in the chat, was there a pay-per-view where they had multiple turns, like two or three? Has that ever happened before? It's usually one big one and maybe a smaller mid-card or a lowercase person. But have they ever had like three or four major turns in matches throughout WrestleMania?
One of my all-time favorites, and when I bring it up, you're going to probably agree with me as well. I will never, ever forget. I loved it when Mr. Fuji left Demolition, and then the Warlord and the Barbarian helped Mr. Fuji up, because Demolition technically turned baby faces and
the Warlord and the Barbarian turned heels.
You know? And you know what? I guess even though really was not intended specifically that way, but Bret Hart and Steve Austin, a double turn, WrestleMania 13.
Right, that's right. There was the whole turn, the 13th. Yeah, that's what I mean. The possibilities of so many things that I'm thinking about. It's like four or five different matches now and different scenarios that can happen with turns on Saturday and Sunday. It should be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe Christian shows up, like we were saying earlier, and everybody thinks he's going to help Edge, and then he smashes the cage.
Yeah,
into Edge, and he helps Finn Balor win. I mean, that's a wild, I mean, if you want me to choose like a really wild, wacky, you know, possibility, maybe Christian returns and causes Edge to win.
Yes. You
know? So, all right. So, I don't know if Angelo Dawkins will turn on Montez. I still think, I guess we could get to the Cena Theory match next.
Yes.
I think Montez Ford and Austin Theory might end up being not on the level of Cena and Orton or Edge and Cena in the past, but this might end up being one of those feuds where we look 5 years from now at some of Austin Theory's greatest rivalries. I think Montez Ford might be on that list. I think the only way Montez Ford feuds with Austin Theory is if the Street Profits split up. So I'm really, really going to be focusing to see if there's any signs of Angelo Dawkins possibly turning at Mania. Yeah, but I'm going to go with the Street Profits, like you.
Yeah, there's a lot of upside with those guys. I mean, WWE is not in trouble for the future when you got guys like Montez Ford, Bron Breakker, Carmelo Hayes, and we're getting into him now, Austin Theory. Yeah. With John Cena, which is supposed to kick off night one, correct?
Yes, that will be the first match of night one.
Kick off night one. You saw the promo the other day in the empty arena with Austin. It was great. I thought this kid's great. I don't know how anybody cannot like him. And there are some podcasters who are not sold on him. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. He's got it all. He's got the looks, the charisma. He can talk. He's got the height. He's a lot taller than I thought he was. He's like 6'3". Mm-hmm. He's this guy's good. I mean, his camera, his face for the camera. He's made for to be a star. I don't see. I'll be honest with you, Anthony. I don't really see any flaws. I mean, if he has flaws, I haven't seen them. You know, I don't see, like, you can pick apart anybody, but for a guy in the business for 6 years, I think he's 25 years old. I pointed out yesterday, Anthony. He's younger than Dominic Mysterio.
You know why I think a lot of people dislike him, especially AEW fans, because right before our very eyes, he is leapfrogging Sammy Guevara, Jungle Boy, Darby Allin, and arguably MJF. It's hard to compare those guys and their styles, but if we're just talking about age and who has the brightest future, it was funny, about a year ago, on two different episodes, I think, of the Sit Down, I had gotten two pretty generous super chats from, and it was two different points last year where people asked, if I started my own promotion, and I had the choice right now that I can have either Sammy Guevara or Austin Theory, who would I choose? And I said even a year ago, Austin Theory.
Yeah.
I just, when you and I were watching like the Attitude, like a little bit past the Attitude Era, or even the Attitude Era, like we would see like Rocky Maivia and we would see some others. And you felt that, okay, this is the young guy that WWF is going to build for the future. Yeah. John Cena and Randy Orton, when they were still in OVW, they were the ones being developed for the future. Roman Reigns, in some way was being groomed as that. I feel like, they might be building Austin Theory as that next young, like heartthrob chicken shit heel, almost like Randy Orton and a Legend Killer. And, and that's what I was going to ask you. How do you feel about Austin Theory going after legends? Like being sort of a Legend Killer now, like after he guts through Cena, he maybe goes after Rey Mysterio or goes after Edge or goes after, when AJ Styles returns, like going after the legends of wrestling.
Or even Randy Orton, who could be returning sooner than later. Well. So no, I like it. I mean, again, the kid's got a lot. You could say people don't like his facial hair. I mean, this is so trivial stuff to not like some athlete. I mean, just like it's head spinning.
Oh my God, Kev! Look at all the neck. With all due respect, guys, look at all the neck beards that are primarily seen on AEW cameras.
Yeah.
I mean, if anybody's going to complain about facial hair and shit like that, I mean, that's the look.
I go by my two female friends, pretty good looking girls. And they think he's hot. They're saying, hey, from a woman's perspective, he's fucking hot. Yeah. I'm like, all right, that's all that matters. I mean, women, kids, men, they have the cross-section of fans that's like people who try to dumb down Roman Reigns. You don't think girls love that guy? It's like nothing you say is going to dumb down his physical appearance to the opposite sex. You can hate on him all you want for a facial hair or whatever, too pretty boyish. But if they have the other skills, which are the ring skills, the talking ability, and the ability to get a crowd either pissed at him or on their feet to cheer for him, that's what it's about. I mean, I'm picking apart people's physical looks. I don't get that.
Plus,
it's not about that.
It's that perception of confidence that puts Theory on the next level. Like, it doesn't just feel like a guy playing a character. He comes across authentic. And, you know, like he is confident in what. And listen, of course, it's predetermined sports entertainment, but there is a lot of pressure. And this guy's going to perform in, you know, in the grandest stage of them all in front of an insane audience. And remember, everyone, WWE's up for sale. Vince is going to be there. Executives that are interested in buying WWE are going to be there. Every single person that goes out there, you know, if even though they have said before, you put on, you know, this is WrestleMania, you put on your greatest performance you possibly can, take that and multiply it by 1,000. So Austin Theory, he comes across as extremely confident. I think Austin Theory beats John Cena. I think John Cena, I wouldn't call it passing the torch.
No.
I wouldn't call it passing the torch. But I think Austin Theory is going to beat John Cena. That would be a major name on his resume. Not even a fluke win, not even something that, you know, later on. I mean, that's why I always felt they started the Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar thing originally, because I think Bobby Lashley needed Brock Lesnar on that resume of names. Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre needed some big name. That's why Goldberg lost to some people. That name being on a resume, even though people today, you know, don't like some of those wrestlers, it's still something you look back on. I think Austin Theory is going to beat John Cena.
Yeah, I always thought passing the torch was when a wrestler beats another wrestler in a series of matches, wins the feud and the overall, you know, prize, so to speak. You know, one and done, I don't think is ever really passing the torch. You know, because, you know, one and done is one and done. When you wrestle someone a series of times, kind of like, well, you know, what Rollins did for Cody.
Yes.
When you're investing in someone to get them to another level, I never think a one-match win is really, you know, this big endorsement. I think it's, you know, what's proper for, you're right, the future. Cena is a movie star now and a wrestler second. Austin Theory is just a wrestler, and he's the future of this company at 25. Him, Dom Mysterio, just a bunch of other guys. We talked about Braun Breaker. This is the future. You know, you probably get even tired of hearing about it ad nauseum. Oh, the future, the future, the future. But they are. I mean, again, we have so many guys near 40 or late 30s. This guy's 25 years old. This is the kind of guy we need.
Yeah.
You know, and younger guys are less prone to get injured constantly like the older guys are. Look at AJ Styles. He's missing WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So, yeah, again, I like Austin Theory. He's not one of my favorites or anything, but I like what he brings to the table, and, and I'm impressed from a guy who basically came from Evolve and came over here like he was in a major Fed, and just he looks at the camera. He does. Again, if he's got flaws outside of the bad facial hair, guys, if he's got any flaws outside of facial hair problems, tell me what it is because I don't see it.
Yeah. You know, I could picture it too, even though WWE, you know, reused it with another storyline. You know, remember John Cena and Austin Theory, the big phrase that John Cena said to Austin Theory that was supposed to be the focal point of this buildup was that Austin Theory was not ready. WWE liked the reaction so much, they decided to use it with Cody Rhodes and Solo Sikoa as well. But I could picture Austin Theory cutting a promo the night after WrestleMania, just basically saying like, John Cena, you were the one that was not ready.
Yeah, so, that's I like it. Yeah, I think, you know, Cena is still a valued name to beat. Reigns has beat him. Other people have beat him. But Austin Theory beating him is important for Austin Theory's future. And John Cena is not selfish. You know, John Cena used to get accused of being selfish. I don't think so at all. I think John Cena still loves WWE. And, you know, he's doing something. I think he probably likes, despite burying Austin Theory, as everyone says, I'm sure he likes the kid behind the scenes and sees him as maybe he sees a lot of himself in Austin Theory.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, obviously Austin Theory can't, you know, go, you know, deep like Thuganomics and all the shit that Cena was saying.
Oh, the attitude, the physique.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No.
They have a similar physique.
Yeah.
Attitude, height-wise, they're a little same. John Cena's a little shorter. But, yeah, just, yeah, I'd say attitude and just workout regimen. They're both bodybuilders. Remember, John Cena, as a prototype, was a bodybuilder character, like a Terminator. So I think they probably get along. They probably talk fucking weightlifting and fitness. I'm sure they like each other behind the scenes.
I brought this up that night. I wouldn't have been surprised if we heard that Austin Theory also went out to dinner with John Cena and Vince McMahon that night.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Yep. You know, you mentioned Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes. And, you know, the beauty about that was Cody beat Seth Rollins, what, 3-4 times in a row. And here we are 1 year later, and Seth Rollins is bigger than he was a year ago. And Cody Rhodes did not suffer, you know, like you would have thought there would have been a lot of backlash, like, oh, Cody keeps beating Seth Rollins, what the fuck? But here we are a year later, and both of those guys, I think their value has, you know, gone up quite a bit. I guess we could get to that match, Seth Rollins versus Logan Paul.
Yeah, I like the match. I mean, listen, again, on paper, it looks good. And even next to each other, similar body types, similar athletics, you know, a similar attitude, in my opinion. Two guys very full of themselves, narcissistic, legit, both think they're great, and they both are great at what they do. You know, I was really thinking about this. I was on the fact first. I'm like, I don't know, man. Rollins has lost a lot of pay-per-views. He put Cody over those three matches. Rollins seems to always be on the losing end of most pay-per-views in recent times. He's still a top guy. So I was on the Logan Paul. I was thinking he gets some sort of dastardly win, some sort of cheating thing. He's a bad guy now. He's going to be around for a little while. He signed the contract with WWE. But I'm going back to Seth Rollins. I just think Seth can't keep doing the J-O-B every time and retain his top guy status. I mean, Seth is still in his prime, DT. Yeah. He's not like AJ Styles. AJ's 10 years older than Seth. I mean, Seth has more of a future here. Why keep putting other guys over when he's in his prime? Right. You know what I mean? He's not on the tail end of his career. You know, so, and I'm sure Seth wants another run with the world championship at some point, don't you think?
Yeah, that's why I think Seth Rollins will get the win here. I think Logan Paul, once WWE really decided, yeah, let's just go full-blown here with Logan Paul, fans want to see Logan Paul get his ass kicked. You know, and Logan Paul, I mean, we've seen what he could do in the ring. I mean, he held his own against Roman Reigns, and that, you know, really just sold it to me. Like, okay, this guy might be all the hype about himself, but at least he's delivering. He's not winging it. He's not getting, like, shortcuts. It's not just spots where, you know, you just do it over and over again and you learn it and you just execute it. The guy actually, you know, if you watch closely in the ring, his psychology is great. His where,
wherewithal?
His awareness of where he is in the ring. Like, he knows exactly, you know, how to react and respond and reverse things, and he doesn't look lost out there. And Seth Rollins, you know, being the ring general in this match, is going to lead him along, and I think this match is going to be spectacular. And the funny thing is when we first heard that this match being thrown around, a lot of us felt like, this is the best you got for Seth Rollins. But I think, if anything, Seth Rollins' stock has gone up tremendously in the last 6 months, and I think he's going to beat Logan Paul. And once the WWE Championship is divided back to both brands, you know, Universal and Heavyweight, I think Seth Rollins in 2023 is going to have one of those two championships. I think Seth Rollins wins here, and I think the momentum builds even further for Seth Rollins.
Yeah, and also Seth Rollins. I mean, this is, you know, I was one of those guys too. Yeah, this is the best thing. Well, Paul Rollins, you know, he's, you know, the job's to Cody three matches in a row, doesn't really get any, you know. But then again, they turned him babyface now. Now he's a babyface. Yeah. Big cheers, one of the big reactions when he comes out, the crowd singing along to a song and all that stuff. But also wrestling Logan Paul gets a mainstream exposure. So, you know, he'll be on Access Hollywood and Entertainment Tonight and all those shows that cover mainstream star Logan Paul. And Seth Rollins will be in the conversation with him. People are like, oh, I don't know a lot about this. So he doesn't lose. He gets good publicity from it. And Seth is already a star. Only makes him more of a spotlighted star in WWE.
Absolutely. I think Seth Rollins, yeah, he'll get this win over here. Logan Paul... See, Logan Paul doesn't lose anything with this.
He doesn't lose anything.
If anything, it tests his ego. You know, like, he lost to Roman Reigns, but he still got to do some insane spots and everything like that. And look at the leg injury that he had. And the leg injury ended up not being what they originally claimed that it was. And I look back on it, and I wonder if Logan Paul exaggerated the leg injury to, like, make it seem like, wow, he blew out his leg and he still finished the match and he still did this. And, you know, then we find out, oh, the injury wasn't as bad as we originally thought it was.
And Logan Paul can also do the heelish thing, like, oh, yeah, I lost to two of the best guys in the world, but I'm still only in this business, not even for 2 years. Like, you know, I'm not even here all the time. I'm doing other things. Like, he could do the heel excuse thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's only going to get better. I'm only, you know, 30-something years old. I'm only going to get better.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, he can totally play off the, I'm just getting started. I'm not like some old broken, I'm, you know, I'm new to this game, and I'm still doing as good as anybody else. So he's got a good comeback with excuses as a villain.
Seth Rollins got lucky.
Yeah.
He got lucky. All right. So this leaves us with Bianca Belair versus Asuka, Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes, Gunther versus Sheamus versus Drew, the Usos versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and Rey Mysterio versus Dominic Mysterio.
Well, let's get right through the from Bianca Belair and Asuka, because there's been barely any kind of great buildup of it. Okay. I'm just going to go straight up. Bianca Belair retains. There's no reason to put on Asuka. I don't think Asuka's hot right now. She's doing a different gimmick of dripping stuff out of her mouth and, you know, taking something off a character she did in Japan, which, most Americans don't even know that. There's no reason to take it off of Bianca Belair, to be honest with you. Asuka's not hot right now. Rhea Ripley is hot right now. Asuka's not, like, people aren't talking about, wow, Asuka's really on a roll. Rhea Ripley is on a roll. There's a reason to give it to Rhea. Rhea is hot right now. Asuka's just there. Again, she tweaked her character a little bit to an old school Japan thing, but she's back to dancing again. So she went from serious to doing the hucklebuck in the ring again. I don't see for Bianca. Now, Bianca Belair, some people get annoyed. They say she's a little boring. Maybe she was so good when she was a bad girl, whipping people with her hair back in NXT a few years ago. She'll get to that down the road. We don't have to turn Bianca. And I think they like having like someone like Bianca as like kind of a role model for the kids. Because let's be honest, Charlotte Flair is not really that type of baby face. No. Bianca Belair is the squeaky clean baby face, goes to the schools and hugs the kids and works with special needs and seems to enjoy doing it. Don't turn her and don't take the belt off her for Asuka. Keep the belt on Bianca Belair. I'm going to go with Bianca Belair.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Bianca also, but a little bit different. And I was touching on this yesterday a little bit. Kairi Sane is now a free agent. Right. Kairi Sane has made it clear that she would welcome a return to WWE. And look, Triple H has brought back a lot of people that Vince had released. And, you know, some have worked out great. Some have worked out not so great. I personally think if the WWE could bring back Kairi Sane, putting her and Asuka back together as the Kabuki Warriors is the best way to utilize Asuka. I am a huge fan of Asuka's. I love her work. But I also, you know, when she started changing her makeup and showing hints of Kana, you know, the thing that was funny about it is online on Twitter, the vibe that I got from some people bringing this up and really emphasizing it, it almost felt like they were excited because they knew about her history, not that she was bringing it back. It was almost like people were like giddy and excited because they knew what she did before she went to WWE. And like you said, she is back with different makeup, but she is doing the very same thing that she was doing before. You know, so the only thing has changed is just her aesthetics, you know, new gear, new makeup. And I like Asuka, but like you said, there's no vibe right now. There's no reason to take the belt off Bianca Belair. If people are frustrated with the way Asuka's been used for the last year or two, okay, that's fine. But I personally think if you want to utilize Asuka a little bit better right now, if Kairi Sane makes a return, I could see them reforming the Kabuki Warriors, and that would be great. And Maurice, the idea of AEW bringing in Asuka for what? You know, the women's division there, the people don't get a match every week. You know, they'll be at ringside for what? You know, like, what is she going to do? She's going to fight Anna Jay. You know, there's some fantasy matches there, but, you know, you got to look at someone when they're signed for a full year, not just one fantasy match or two fantasy matches, and then you go blow through that. You're like, oh, okay, now what? Now we have to, you know, so anybody right now, you know, with Asuka, I think Kairi Sane would be the best way to amp her up a notch. And look, that women's division, Kai and Sky versus Kabuki Warriors, Kabuki Warriors versus, you know, if Bayley starts teaming up with someone again, who knows? Maybe
Karen Connection, who am I? The new Karen Connection, the Karen Connection.
Chelsea Green could work.
No, I like Chelsea Green. I like the Chelsea Green. And listen, Sonya Deville, she could do worse for a partner, so it's not a bad tech team.
Yeah. So I'm going with Bianca, like you. I think there's no way that Asuka takes that title off of Bianca. And if Rhea Ripley takes that title, they're not going to have two women's title changes.
No.
All right. We got Gunther versus Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre. Triple threat match for the Intercontinental Championship. Gunther has not been pinned. And they pointed out something that we all need to remember, that Gunther could lose the Intercontinental Championship without being pinned.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Sheamus. I think Sheamus deserves the only title he has not held is the Intercontinental title. I'm just going to go with Sheamus. I think it's Sheamus's time to get the big win. He's another one who's done the JOB a bunch of times, like Rollins, on a bunch of pay-per-views. It's time to get his comeuppance. He's getting on in years. What is he, 45 now? Drew is younger. Drew's got more time left, I think, in the business than Sheamus does. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Sheamus. I'm going to go with Sheamus and also gets the belt off of Gunther. Sheamus pins his friend Drew McIntyre, and they continue that feud beyond WrestleMania. Gunther goes on to other things and perhaps eyes the world title.
Yeah, you know, I know something? No bullshit. Mm-hmm. Up until 30 seconds ago, my pick was Gunther. I just felt, you know, he's going to fight with Cody later on in the year. And, you know, you want to keep that momentum going, but you just said something that really just caught my eye and made me think, what is the biggest focus right now of Gunther leading into WrestleMania? Him complaining to Adam Pearce. Tell me how this is fair. Tell me how this is fair that I have to fight two people instead of one. Tell me how this is fair. Now, could you imagine he goes to Adam Pearce on SmackDown? And he's even more livid. Like, not only was that not fair, I lost the championship without being pinned. So I think Gunther's anger to the unfair treatment of Adam Pearce in the WWE towards his run, I think we may end up seeing Sheamus pinning Drew McIntyre and Gunther loses the championship without being pinned.
Yes, I'm totally on board with that. That's why I'm hoping I got that right.
Yeah, listen, this match is going to be crazy physical. And, you know, I tell you, I got married on September 3rd. And one of my highlights during the afternoon when I started getting really nervous and really nauseous, and I'm in my place by my parents, just waiting until like 5 o'clock, whatever it was, the limos was going to pick us up, and Clash at the Castle was on. So I said, okay, let me watch Clash of the Castle.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was Clash of the Castle.
And I had Gunther versus Sheamus. And that match I will always remember because of that day. And it's like Gunther versus Sheamus is fucking incredible.
Nah.
Gunther versus Drew McIntyre would be a great feud as well. The only thing is I don't see Drew pinning Gunther. And Gunther could go into SummerSlam going up against Cody for the heavyweight championship, and Gunther still has not been pinned. So Gunther could lose this championship and go into the summer or even fall of 2023, and they still could boast that Gunther has never been pinned.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much they can do with that. So that's another, again, as we're talking about these matches, more and more I'm like, well, okay, that's another match I'm kind of looking forward to. So there's so much more than the two main spotlighted matches,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm going to go with you. Sheamus. I that would be a title change that I don't think people would expect. And again, Gunther is not pinned. Gunther goes right to Adam Pearce, WWE management, complaining on Friday. You know, this is not the, and I think this maybe escalates Gunther to go on to bigger and better things, and that is Cody.
Maybe even attack Adam Pearce and get traded to Raw or something like that, or, you know, to go after Cody.
Yeah, we have the draft coming up later this year. I mean,
they can do a whole thing with that where he maybe even the Imperium attacks Adam Pearce or beats him down, gets suspended, and then they wind up on Raw.
Yeah, so we will see. All right, that leaves three more matches.
Three more.
Which one you want to take? Rey and Dom, Usos versus Zayn and Owens, or Roman versus Cody?
Let's go with Rey. We'll go in the order of importance. Probably go Rey and Dom third, the tag, and then Reigns and Cody first, last. Let's go with Rey and Dom. Just that smack alone and him finally firing back on this prick was fantastic. I mean, now I'm looking forward to it, too, because I'm like, I don't know, is this going to be where Rey doesn't want to hit Dom and Dom beats him up and down the fucking ring? But now Rey wants a piece of him. Rey is going to be in the fight. And he jumped Rey again the other night on television, you know, and had Damian Priest hold him until Legado Del Fantasma came out to save him. That's an interesting thing that they turned those guys.
Yeah, I like Santos Escobar.
I like Santos. And I'm sure they're going to team them up in Puerto Rico for the Latin
contingency
of fans and stuff. That should be fun. So I'm going to go with, yeah, I mean, I hope it's a nice brawl. I mean, I know Ray is always about just getting his son over and more concerned about how Dominic comes off than him. He's got nothing left to prove. He's going to the Hall of Fame. I think everyone's like, Dominic has to win. I'm not sure. I'm on the fence about it. I was going to go with Ray, but when I'm really thinking about it, knowing Ray is so selfless and it is all about his son and his future, I'm going to go with Ray, even maybe changing the finish with Triple H saying, I know you want me to win. I'm in the Hall of Fame, but let's put Dom over. It's better for his future. You know, and Ray puts a lot of people, even put Crossover on television a few weeks ago. Yeah. I'm going to go with Dom. Knowing Ray, he's so selfless and is willing to do anything to help people he believes in. I'm going to go with him eating the pin. And it'll be some chicanery. You know, I don't know, because people like Kev, someone was asking me before, is there any way they could make like Dom and like could hug his father and have that moment? I don't know. It's too, all of a sudden Dom sees the light in one match. It's too quick, right? Yeah, down the road, down the road.
I mentioned this last Monday. I said I could picture Dominic getting beat up by Ray during a match, and Dominic looks at his father and says, Dad, I mean, really like visibly. I love you. I'm sorry. I love you. And I think Ray legitimately is going to get choked up. I mean, look, you got your son in the ring. I mean, what Dominic's been able to do in a year is tremendous. I mean, it's fucking pretty awesome to see how much he's progressed. But I think in the end, I think Dominic is going to get very sentimental with Ray. Ray is going to fall for it. We probably will even see a hug, and then Dominic will fucking wail on his father, pin him, and Dominic gets the win. I think
down the road there'll be, I'm sure, some maybe 6 months, a year, or whatever, where Dom has sees the light, and goes back with his dad, and then people will love that, you know. So yeah, I talked about it before, DT. Like, everyone always thinks about a tweak of the character. Just turn him, go to the other side. If Dom didn't become a heel, he was dead in the water as a babyface. Really was.
I agree with you. I mean, and the funny thing about it is, you know, you've come across people like this in the club scene. You've come across people like this in Jackson Heights, where you got like these, you know, like skinny 140-pound, you know, like guys who think that their shit don't stink, and they think that they're tougher than shoe leather. And then, like, they get, like, arrested, or they have a little bit of a shoving match, and they get thrown in jail overnight, and they think they're now a street thug. They think they're part of, like, some, like, Crips in the Bloods or something like that. Dominic thinking that he is now, like, a prison, like, strong, and, you know, he's an ex-con.
The teardrop tattoo.
Oh, my God, it's fucking great, man. Because
it's great. You know, people compare him to Sammy Guevara. I think he's got a little bit one step ahead because, you know, Sammy Guevara, I think, you know, let's say he's a polarizing guy, whether he's a babyface or a heel, his real personality rubs people the wrong way. Dom is a nice kid in real life, and he's playing this role really well as this prick. Yeah. Because in real life, I hear nothing but nice things. Dom's a nice kid. He's a very nice kid in real life, very respectful of the business. So, because people compare him to Guevara, I'm like, no, the difference is Dom is actually a nice guy outside the business, and he's playing this role to perfection. he's getting like that. It's not go away heat. It's like major fuck you heat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's a top three heel in the fucking company. Yeah. I mean, and he wasn't even a top 20 baby face a year ago.
No.
He probably finished in the high 30s as far as baby faces go. And he's like a number three heel in the company.
To me, the biggest difference between him and Guevara is Guevara, he feeds off of legit emotions. Like, you know, people think like, oh, how could you break up so quickly with your ex and then you go with this? Well, you know what? I know people who met and got married within a month or two. I mean, and plus, Guevara and Ty Conti were close friends for many, 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 many years. And then they realized that they were actually meant for each other. So I'm not going to question his relationship or anything like that. But Sammy Guevara sees the writing on the wall from the public out there that they think he's cocky, that they think that, you know, that they don't like him and Ty Conti as a couple. So they flaunt it to get under your skin. Dominic is not an ex-con in real life. Dominic is
not. And he's also not with Rhea Ripley in real life.
No. Right? Dominic is one of the, as far as we hear, one of the nicest, coolest people around that loves professional wrestling, adores his father. And Dominic wants to keep the Mysterio name strong and proud. And Dominic doing this chicken shit stuff, it's epic because you look at him and he is the reverse of it. Even though he's, you know, he's grown his hair. Now it looks a lot like Eddie Guerrero when you look at it.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it is looking like Eddie Guerrero.
You know, and playing on the Eddie Guerrero thing. I mean, some people, you got to understand it's 2023 and, you know, people are a lot softer, you know, now compared to 20 years ago. I still, could you imagine if the Eddie Guerrero, when he passed away, could you imagine how 2023 internet wrestling community would react if they kept Eddie's name alive like they did in that storyline with JBL and the car? People would fucking lose their shit right now.
Yeah, totally.
So, but Dominic, you know, keeping the, and Ray keeping Eddie in the storyline because of their relationship, you know, Eddie's probably looking down and smiling and like, I can't believe, you know, like Dominic has grown as much as he has. You don't fix what's not broken. Dominic, you know, maybe down the line, you know, showing a little emotion for his father, but at WrestleMania, Dominic will play psychology on Ray. Ray will fall for it. Dominic will beat him. And my only question is, does Rhea Ripley eat a 619?
That's a good question.
WWE will not. I mean, they refuse to let any man put their hands on a woman in any type of skits or segments. I think the last time we had that, wasn't it Baron Corbin and Becky Lynch?
Yeah, when he gave, she gave, what was the move he gave Becky Lynch, guys, in the pay-per-view? What was that movie?
I think he gave her, oh, shit. I can't remember.
End of Days.
Yes, thank you.
That was great. And the crowd loved it.
Yeah.
Crowd went nuts.
You know, it was funny when Rhea took on Tozawa. I'll never forget that Raw. And I'm seeing trending. Oh, WWE, they're finally, you know, getting up to the times and they're going to have intergender matches and make, you know. I'm like, are you kidding me? You look at that match closely and Tozawa got no offense in whatsoever. His offense was, let me get out of the way from Rhea charging me so she hits the he did nothing. I think he might have put a Huracanrana on her once. Did not physically punch her or kick her once.
Right.
And, you know, if Rhea Ripley eats a 619, we have not seen any remote, you know, like man-on-woman contact at all like this.
Right, I think, Phil put the graphic up. There it is of End of Days.
Yeah,
on the
I think Rhea Ripley's got to eat at least one 619.
Yeah, it's got to be by accident. The crowd will love it. Yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah, I think we got to get at least one. I think that crowd would go fucking nuts if Rhea Ripley, you know, ends up eating a 619. Maybe, look, even if Ray attempts it and Dominic gets in the way and he eats it or something, he pulls her out of the way, but I'm going with Dom.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, that leaves,
the big two.
Our opinion, the main events for each night. We have the Usos defending the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
I think it's going to be a classic. I think they're going to go all out. I think it's going to be a lot of brawling around the ring. I think that, you know, they're going to really have a lot of, you know, some of those moments where it looks like the Usos are going to get the victory. But in the end, the payoff, well, this long payoff, will be Sammy and Kevin Owens finally getting the tag team championship, unseating the Usos, what, 600 and something days they're at now?
Yeah, they've broken.
They're the number one tag team, longest tag team of all time. Yeah, it's a major thing in all different aspects. And, you know, that's where Reigns, and we'll talk about it, can be a couple of different finishes. I don't think there's anybody who's picking the Usos that I've heard for. I don't know how. I mean, if they did that, that would just. I mean, I would probably laugh, to be honest with you. I'd probably be like, oh, my God.
Oh, there'd be debris thrown in that ring.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I think that would be worse than Cody not winning, would be Owens and Sammy not winning. It would be worse in different aspects. But, yeah, they're gonna fight for their lives for it. It's not going to come easy. It'd probably go a decent amount of time. And, you know, I know they don't do blood anymore, but I think all four guys are going to really grind it out where it's going to be, you know, match of the year type of match. And in the end, big celebration for Owens and Sammy.
Yeah, I look back at, you know, a couple of decades of, you know, the WWE especially. And I think back to even Ray and Eddie. Ray and Eddie, you know, I think what people need to understand is even when they were feuding, if you go back to even WCW and their legendary match at Halloween Havoc, that was, I think, what, 1998? And then you think of when Eddie passed, you know, you're talking mid-2000s. You know, their feud and their alliance was not extremely long on camera. The years seem like it's a lot, but in many of those times, each one of them were going a different way. You look at Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and you go back to Ring of Honor, you go back to PWG, you go back to WWE, you go back to NXT. I mean, it is very, very rare to have two best friends interact with each other for this long and consistently on camera, whether feuding or aligning with each other. And when you look back at the annals of wrestling history, you know, we go 10, 20 years from now, we look back, you know, I almost feel like when Eddie and Ray celebrated at WrestleMania, this might be the second close, this is the closest we probably gotten to that moment with Ray and Eddie. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see any other friendships. You know, there's a lot of friendships in wrestling, but I don't see anybody this deep for this long. And a lot of, this is the beauty of it is, a lot of fans were invested in what they did. Maybe not on a grand scale with PWG or Ring of Honor or anywhere else because, you know, their audiences were very, very small and intimate. But you go to NXT and you realize, I mean, how many years these guys have been in WWE already. These two guys beat the Usos, dethrone their record reign at WrestleMania, the pinnacle of this storyline with the bloodline for all of this time, you know, and people, I think, sometimes don't sit back and realize that Sami Zayn was only in the bloodline for what, 6 months, 7 months? Wasn't that long, but everything clicked on all cylinders. And I think the Usos losing to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, it's a no-brainer. I mean, you bet the house on it. Like you said, I mean, there would be so much unrest amongst the WWE Universe live there in person if the Usos retained. And you know what? WWE Universe, I think, really dig the Usos. Jey Uso's work has been incredible. Jey Uso, I mean, it's just amazing how good this guy acts. Jimmy Uso's not bad either. But there is a deep appreciation for the Usos by the WWE Universe. But they need Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens to win. And when they win, you're going to see people, grown adults, crying in a crowd. We might even see their family members, you know, at ringside. It's going to be a major emotional moment. And it's the only way to go. It's the only way to go. I know a lot of people feel you can't go off the air both nights of WrestleMania with uber hardcore feel-good moments. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Why not? I mean, you go to the movies, and it's a superhero movie. 99 times out of 100, the superhero prevails at the end of the movie. The villain does not prevail.
No.
You know what I mean? So Nomad, I disagree. It's not going to be like Rocky II because Rocky II, the Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn have not competed for those tag titles against the Usos. Right. They just aligned with each other to help take them down. You know, Rocky was an underdog and unknown when I brought this comparison up years ago. When Jungle Boy took on Chris Jericho years ago, they should have done the Rocky I storyline where Apollo Creed looks for a nobody. It's Thanksgiving. I'm in the giving spirit. I'm going to give nobody an opportunity for a shot. And Jungle Boy gets this close of winning, but he doesn't. Rocky II means that Jungle Boy would have won. You don't want to do that. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are not unknowns. They're not. They have earned the opportunity. So, and don't ask CM Punk. Yes, Liam. Don't ask CM Punk because he's never seen a Rocky movie. But no, I don't think this has. I love the Rocky movies, and I absolutely love using a Rocky storyline in the movies because they were so epically accepted when we went to the movies as kids, going to Rocky 1, 2, or 3, or 4, whatever. Yeah, so it's a formula that works great. But Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, you know, they're not unknowns who got an opportunity and almost won it. You know, Action Andretti might fit that role a little bit more. And no, I don't want him to win any championships, but I'm with you. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, got to take it.
100%.
Yeah. Well, that leaves one match left. And if anybody is tuned in to the Forbidden Door episode that you and I did, they have an idea of our take at this match. And this is the last match that we're talking about tonight. And we'll briefly tackle Bobby Lashley afterwards. But because I know there's a lot of buzz about Bobby Lashley. But let me say this. Kevin and I have a difference of opinion as far as who's going to come out on top in this match. Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. What are you going with?
I like both guys. I'm not going to be disappointed if it goes either way, your way or my way. My way and my thought process is this. I just think it's important that the WWE, whether it's the Shockholes in the back, Vince, Triple H, whoever it is, Roman himself, you know, the Samoan legacy, to get Roman to that 1,000 days and get him over Pedro Morales. He's not going to beat out Bob Back. He's not going to catch up to anybody else, but he's so close to catching up with and you know, getting past Pedro Morales. Because people could be, well, why would they be obsessed with passing? It's not nothing personally against Pedro. I just see they want Reigns in that top four. They just probably see that lineup and they're like, Reigns just too close. And the chase is a marathon, not a sprint mentality, where Cody doesn't win it on the first try. He's got to, takes a little bit more to take down the Bloodline and the Tribal Chief than just one match, because many have had several matches and couldn't take him down. So, again, making it more of a marathon than a chase, making it more of epic matches to look forward to between the two. The battle continues the way they used to do it back in the old day, DT, when his father would fight Ric Flair or Harley Race, when Akita would battle Magnum TA, and it wasn't the first, you know, it would take a couple of tries before they'd lift the belt off of somebody. It's one and done is not what it has to be all the time. Because people go back and they think Ultimate Warrior, one and done, beats Hulk Hogan. You know, Hulk Hogan, Macho Man at that WrestleMania when Randy turned bad after, you know, his team up with Hogan. Hogan beats him, never to really fight again. They can stretch this out. You know, Cody and Reigns can have a nice series. Now, I don't know. People could say, oh, I'm hearing Reigns might want to take time off. I don't really know what to believe, to be honest with you, Anthony. But I'm just going to go with they can get more mileage out of this and they can get more of Cody. Really, you know, it's got to be more than one match. It takes more than that to take down this epic champion that we have right now. It's too easy to me for it to be a one and done. And then Reigns disappears and he pops up in Survivor Series. I don't know, man. I don't like that. I don't. There's a lot to be done with the Bloodline, and then what happens to Solo, Paul Heyman. There's so much to be answered there. So I'm going to go with. Right, you know, it comes close, and they're going to give fans what, oh, holy shit moments, and Cody just almost beats him. In the end, it could be chicanery, it could be rule-breaking, outside interference, you know, whatever. But Reigns pulls it out and wins, and you see mouth-open fans that they're going to put for years, like they did when, what's his name, The Undertaker, the streak got broken, DT?
Yeah.
With the dude who had his mouth hanging open. Get ready for a graphic of somebody in that arena with their mouth open guy. Cody did not win. I can't fucking believe it. But don't. People are saying Cody has to win, even in this chat. He doesn't have to win. He has to win eventually. Yes, he is the guy. I believe he's the guy. There is nobody else. Not Sheamus, not Drew McIntyre. He's the guy. But he might not be the guy right now. He's the guy at some point this year. Is it SummerSlam? Listen, big matches and big wins happen at SummerSlam. It doesn't have to be a WrestleMania. There's no rule book that one and done has to be every WrestleMania. Let it be a series of matches. Why not? Cody stretched it out with Seth Rollins. Why would he beat Reigns in one fucking shot? You know what I'm saying? When he had a series of matches, yes, he got the best of Rollins, but it was a marathon with that, not a sprint. I'm going with he loses, and of course he gets a rematch because he was robbed and blah, 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 puts more heat on Reigns in the Bloodline. softens the blow of the Usos losing the tag team championship. Come on, the Bloodline just loses everything. Then what happens to everybody? You know, so again, I'm going to go with Reigns retaining, getting to that 1,000 days in May. I believe he hits it at the end of May. And then SummerSlam, the rematch, Cody wins it then. I'm going to stick to it. I'm not going to change.
I'll tell everybody what my prediction in a second, but I will remind everyone that I believe Roman Reigns hits 1,000 days right as they go to Saudi Arabia.
You think so?
Yeah, I think it's right at Saudi Arabia. So, you know, I totally listen.
Oh, right. It is a right. You're right.
Yeah, I totally listen.
Yeah, it is. You're right. Yeah.
I totally respect what you're saying. And I'm not going to deny it. There were definitely some points that I thought about it. 1,000 days, great milestone. Definitely, you know, important. Then I think about The Undertaker losing at WrestleMania. Like, I always thought, without a shadow of a doubt, Undertaker is going to retire undefeated at WrestleMania. I always said I could envision the merchandise, the plaques, the shirts, and everything. You know, all of his victims, undefeated at WrestleMania. Brock Lesnar did not need the win, you know, and Undertaker has brought that up in interviews, but they still did it. And that says to me that maybe some statistics may not be as important to WWE. I mean, we look at some of the recent reigns of some other champions. Gunther is probably the only one that I feel is really, you know, made those days worth it. And a lot of it's beyond a wrestler's control. But I'll say this. I personally think Roman Reigns, what he has done the last couple of years, I don't think he needs the 1,000 days. I think his reign is so important. It has been so spectacular. And the most amazing thing about it is almost every opponent he had, we all pretty much knew what the outcome was going to be. I think the only two times that we might have been a little bit suspicious or maybe in doubt was when Brock Lesnar took him on and when Drew McIntyre faced him in Clash at the Castle. But, and this is why I think Roman is going to lose, when Drew McIntyre lost at Clash at the Castle, I honestly thought he was winning. The build to that match in the UK, showing the vignettes with his family and everything else, they built him up probably better than anybody else in recent memory to lead to a loss. When he lost, I had vibes of Lex Luger and the Lex Express. Drew McIntyre is a little different because Drew is much more respected and beloved. You know,
already the champion. Luger never was the champion.
Right, and Luger was never the champion. But I still felt that it was a colossal loss for Drew McIntyre Clash at the Castle. In hindsight, I'm glad he didn't win because now at WrestleMania, Roman's still the champion. You know, it's even more powerful and it's even more noteworthy. But I almost feel finish the story, Dusty Rhodes' legacy, coming back from injury, you know, winning the Royal Rumble. I think that is a storybook. If Vince was full-blown, in control, no Triple H creative at all, then I might be going with you on this. But I feel that sometimes in pro wrestling, you know, you close the movie, you close the book with a predictable outcome because it makes the most sense. And I feel finish the story. If he doesn't finish the story, yes, in pro wrestling, you never truly finish the story. That's what Sami Zayn cut on his promo right after Elimination Chamber.
Right.
But with Cody Rhodes, with everything with the Rhodes name, his father never getting it, returning back from WWE, from AEW, and everything that has led to this moment, I just think it would be a colossal failure on Cody Rhodes' part that if you're going to experience the ultimate win, the ultimate storyline, plus this is another thing that I think a lot of people out there don't think about. What's going to happen, and you touched on this before, what's going to happen to the Bloodline after WrestleMania? You almost feel like they have to implode. You almost feel like Solo Sikoa may end up balking back or biting back at Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is kind of abusing him a little bit. You almost feel Jey Uso, deep down inside, has a little bit of animosity for Roman Reigns. I almost feel that Roman Reigns in storyline has to lose it. I think Roman Reigns has to become paranoid. I think Roman Reigns has to be like a mafia where he's got to take out even his own family. I think the bloodline is going to implode. I use the term tsunami a couple of times on the shows. I think if Roman Reigns retains and the Usos lose, the feuds or the storylines that lead after this, I'm not feeling it. Because if Roman is still the champion and Jay or Solo or anybody else ends up, you know, fighting him in some capacity, I don't think a title has to be on the line, and it shouldn't be around the waist of Roman Reigns. If Roman drops those titles and then has a feud, you know, within the family, it's a storyline that they can do, and no one will really say, why isn't Roman Reigns getting a rematch? Why isn't Roman Reigns going for the championship again? Why isn't he want to take on Cody? Because I think if the bloodline totally collapses, I think, you know, the storyline continues as strong as it could possibly be. I'm gonna go with Cody Rhodes to win. I think he finishes the story for now. I'm very curious to see. I think it's almost going to be shock. I think we see, maybe not on Raw, but I think on SmackDown, we may see the bloodline in their locker room, their suite, whatever they have, and they're just going to look at each other. And I think everybody's going to, and Roman Reigns is just going to be pissed. I think everybody's going to look at each other like, what the fuck just happened? We had everything. Now we have nothing.
Yeah. I mean, it can go either way. But the one thing, Cody can also lose in like a fashion where he was, you know, completely robbed. That's the way they can retain him getting his comeuppance, is that, you know, he got totally ripped off. It was, you know, he got, whether it was Heyman or whatever, it was all chicanery. So he's got to get a rematch. So, and they can milk this for a couple of more times. And I don't, you know, wrestling fans like to compare everything to other things. You know, Lex Luger thing. The difference was they never had faith in Lex Luger. Cody's a much different wrestler than Lex Luger, a better wrestler, a legacy wrestler, a guy that has already put one company on his back. Lex Luger never had anything on his back. He just had a good physique. He didn't have anything else. He's not remotely in Lex Luger's category.
Can I ask you a question?
He was a bodybuilder. He wasn't even a wrestler.
Can I ask you a question? On July 4th, when he body slammed Yokozuna, I mean, it was a great moment and everything, and I think the feat of strength was incredible. I mean, the visual of him body slamming Yoko was awesome.
People still liked America, DT.
Right, did it kind of like hit you out of left field? I mean, I'm not questioning Lex Luger's love for our country, but when he came off the helicopter and he's wearing the red, white, and blue, and you know, like, just like, when did it become like a jacked up Hacksaw Jim Duggan?
He didn't fit the suit. And if you saw his documentary, he was never comfortable in that. He really didn't even like being a baby face. He hates signing autographs. He likes it now because he's a different person, because he had the biggest come to Jesus moment in that wheelchair. So again, I believe he is a good man today. Back then, I believe he was a narcissist. That's why they put the gimmick on him and didn't care about the fans. You even caught him on the bus a couple times like, oh, I got to go out and sign autographs. You know, can you imagine if Cody Rhodes being caught on camera saying, I got to go see these kids now? Oh, but his career would be finished. So, yeah, let's not compare Cody Rhodes to Lex Luger. That's a stretch.
No,
you can compare Batista to Lex Luger.
Yeah, let's I don't compare that personality. I'm just saying, Lex Luger was a colossal failure.
It was a failure. Colossal. Yeah, it was a colossal failure. I mean, it really was. And let's be honest, he never was able to even carry the NWA or WCW. You know, they went with Simmons over him at one point to beat Vader. So, again, Cody is a star. He's the guy. Will he be the guy at WrestleMania, or is he the guy down the road? I don't know. But he's definitely the guy. I mean, you saw the reaction Cody got the other day. Not just singing his song, but just the cheers and the Cody chants. Yeah. Not an ounce of boo. Not an ounce of Sammy chants during Cody. The experts that all predicted the downfall of Cody Rhodes' popularity from winning the Royal Rumble were all wrong, as the radio woman said in the Warriors. They got it wrong. All wrong.
I'm telling you, you know, you look at social media compared to like the live fan reaction, and sure, you see something in person, it's you know, it's a different vibe, the energy. I mean, you really, it's hard for you to have a bad time at a wrestling event. But if you go online, you would think like so much of what we see, like our eyes are deceiving us. That exactly. no, Cody and this and that, and no, he's not over. And should Sami Zayn be reconsidered for the title shot if Cody fails? And it's not like, you know, why even let that even like enter your brain?
Poison your mind, right? Exactly. I had a friend who was at the Montreal show, and it was texting me from the show, and I said, "Oh, what's the vibe there? Everybody's pro Sami." He goes, "Pro Sami." He goes, "But how about Cody though?" He goes, "Let's put it this way: I can't find a fucking Cody Rhodes shirt for the life of me. They're all sold out."
Yeah.
So it's like, so what are they talking about? You know? So it's like, oh, he's still popular. He goes, "Oh no, yeah, no, Cody's popular in Montreal, yeah. Man. No, we don't hate Cody." So it's like no one was booing him. We're just pro Sami. Sami's our guy, but Cody's, you know, why can't there be two big baby faces? The Rock, Stone Cold, Ultimate Warrior, and Hogan exactly. Back in the day. Why does it have to be one baby face that controls everything? It's so
exactly.
Stupid.
I mean, look, no one is ever going to get 100% approval rating from fans. And listen, when Hogan turned heel in WCW, joined the New World Order, they were supposed to be colossal heels, and you would have a lot of fans throw garbage in the ring. But you also had a lot of fans wearing NWO shirts. So, yep, you know, exactly. No one is ever going to have total approval. I mean, if Cody wins, there's still going to be people that don't like Cody. There are going to be people that feel like Cody got this opportunity. And part of the reason why he got it was, you know, because he left AEW, went back to WWE. There's a lot of people within WWE, I mean, AEW fans that are still very bitter for Cody, leaving. It doesn't feel like anybody's ever replaced Cody. And, you know, if anything, the professionalism within AEW has definitely been hurt a little bit since he's been gone. I mean, I don't think anybody denies that.
Oh, and also, Anthony, you got to remember, also the cool heel faction, that's that fucking bloodline still gets people with the ones in the air.
Yeah.
They're not totally hated. They're actually they're popular. They still sell merch. I think they're like the number three selling merch still now. Even as heels, so they're kind of still in the cool heel category. The other day they came out, the Usos got a rousing ovation. So and I think people are a little again. You watch the live shows, and if you're right, DT, if you go by what you see online and you watch the live shows, you're like, wait a minute, who's the babyface?
Yeah,
you're like confused. So just watch it through the eyes of. Everyone here in the chat is a knowledgeable fan, so just believe what your eyes and ears are telling you, basically. Don't listen
to your lying eyes are not deceiving you.
Exactly. The clickbait stuff is out of control online.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is, but...
WWE's having second thoughts about retaining Cody Rhodes.
How ridiculous was that? WWE, Triple H still doesn't know who's going to the winner of the match.
Oh, on the fence about if they want to put the belt on Cody.
Oh, my God.
No one ever said that.
It's crazy.
Yeah, you want to talk about before we get out of here, Bobby Lashley?
Yeah, let's as a wild card to close out our predictions. What do you think they're going to do with Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania? I mean, and what do you think they're going to do with LA Knight? Because you mentioned the Steve Austin reference, and I like your idea with LA Knight that
out saying, "Yeah, no one they couldn't give me a match. No one back there has got the balls to come after me." And then the glass hits Austin's, and I've been following Austin on Instagram. He's been working out. He's been eating. They're showing him of dieting. I'm like, what is he doing that for? Come on, he's got to be making a WrestleMania appearance.
Yeah,
he's got to be making an appearance.
Especially Vince is going to be there, and it's the biggest stage of them all. I mean, last year he had a full blown match with Kevin Owens, and then he went at it with Vince a little bit. I think Steve Austin has way more than a stunner left in him. So if all he has to do is have a little bit, I could picture it, Kev. You know, Steve Austin hits the ring, does his promo with LA Knight, and you hear the crowd, what? You know, are you upset? What?
Yeah.
And then Austin's like, look, let's have a toast. And I could picture LA Knight having a toast with him with a beer. And you know LA Knight will sell the fucking stunner.
Absolutely. He'll bounce all over the place.
Yeah, so I think LA Knight, I always thought he was going to be a co-host with The Miz for WrestleMania. I thought them back and forth would be fun, but you know what? If LA Knight instead eats a stunner from Steve Austin, fine with me. We have WrestleMania 40, plenty of time for LA Knight. You look at Dominic Mysterio. We're not comparing them even with age, but you look at a year ago compared to now. A year from now, when it's WrestleMania 40, LA Knight could be a semi-main event fighting for a belt.
Yeah, it could be.
I'm fine with that. Now, Bobby Lashley, you know, a lot of people within WWE, they love Bobby Lashley. And they, you know, they feel terrible that this ended up the way that it happened. It's still unknown if Bray Wyatt is going to be there or not. You know, I love, you know, one of the shows that I like online is this guy Wrestling Days, and he does a lot of watch-alongs, and he's a really funny guy, and I love his attitude. But, man, does he tease so much shit with Bray Wyatt that doesn't happen. He even wrote today, like, Bray Wyatt spotted on a plane. Is it, like, why even go there if you don't know what he's actually doing? I don't know if Bray Wyatt is going to go to WrestleMania. I've heard that he got COVID. I heard that he had some type of blood infection. I heard that it had, you know, that he was also home because of what is going on with his uncle, you know, what happened with Barry Windham. Everybody forgot that Barry Windham was almost dead not too long ago. I think Bobby Lashley shows up at Mania. I think Bobby Lashley will be pissed the fuck off, and he's not going to leave the ring until he gets some competition, something. He's going to take it out. And I wonder if Bray Wyatt's music still hits. I wonder if this is like John Cena from 14.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. But is there another guy back there? Some people are saying, what about Bronson Reed coming out and taking the challenge? Is Bronson Reed over enough to, you know, get the crowd popped to come out and fight Bobby Lashley?
You know,
I love Cross, and I wouldn't even put Cross in that position, who matches up better with Bobby Lashley. But I'm thinking of some of the guys who were available, so to speak, from the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. I can't think. It's got to be somebody major who comes out and steps to Bobby Lashley. I mean, who's not on the who could it be?
Yeah,
it's got to be somebody semi over. Who could it be?
I mean, look, I still think with Matt Riddle, you know, I think what happens with Matt Riddle, what could happen is if Solo Sikoa is at ringside for Roman Reigns, I think Matt Riddle could possibly, I could see it, him returning and neutralizing Solo Sikoa, because Solo Sikoa is the one that, quote unquote, put him on the shelf and retired him in the first place.
That's so, right, yeah.
But I don't see Matt Riddle coming out to accept the challenge for Bobby Lashley. I don't see it with Randy Orton either, because I feel that Bobby Lashley, no matter who comes out there, Bobby Lashley's got to come out strong. And yeah, if somebody makes a return, if somebody makes a debut, I mean, look, I have nothing against Jay White, but you look at online, these people act like Jay White is a household name. If Jay White's music hit and his name could go on a fucking Titantron, you could have military jets spell his name out with smoke in the sky. And the crowd ain't going to fucking give a flying fuck to Jay. You're not going to get holy shit chants or anything like that. He ain't a household name yet. You know, so you put him out there, even... and I thought about it. I thought of Mickey James's husband. You know, we haven't seen him. Excuse me?
Nick Aldis?
Yeah, Nick Aldis. We haven't seen him in quite some time. And I thought Nick Aldis showing up in WWE would be really interesting. Almost would give me vibes of Ric Flair when he showed up in WWF in 1990. I think it was 91. But even that, I don't see that interaction going off well. I almost feel like Bray Wyatt now has to come out, or Uncle Howdy, you know, something.
Maybe Uncle Howdy. I mean, who's obviously Bo Rotundo at this point. I can't. Again, they have guys like Bronson Reed and Cross who match up 6'3", 6'4", with Bobby Lashley, you know, mass-wise. But they're not over enough. I mean, they're just not. I think they would probably even admit that themselves, but... you know, in a perfect world, dude, Bronson Reed and Cross, could either one come out and come in. Be realistic and fair about the situation and not, you know, taking consideration we like some of these guys personally. But, I just, when it comes to Bobby Lashley, who is still a top guy, you got to give him someone that the crowd's like, oh shit, him? Yeah. Like that kind of thing, yeah.
Well,
and I just can't figure out who it is, though. I mean, if someone else in the room can figure it out, I can't figure it out.
I think it would feel too much like of a Raw. If, let's say, Bronson Reed's music hits and he comes out there and and then before you know it, Cross's music hits and Cross hits the ring. And before you know it, so-and-so's music hits and he hits the ring. And then, and then you have like five or six people in the ring with Bobby Lashley and you end up with an impromptu four-way or a five-way. I think it would feel too much of like a Raw episode.
Well, would they feed him for shits and giggles, DT, and because people like to see him get his ass kicked, would they feed him Baron Corbin?
You know what? That is a great, great pick. Because if we watch Baron Corbin every week, Baron Corbin, even this past week, Baron Corbin wanted an opportunity for WrestleMania. Chelsea Green shows up, and Adam Pearce puts her in the match, and Corbin looks at Adam Pearce and says, really? Really?
Yeah, that was funny.
You know what? I could see that, man. And Bobby Lashley could beat the fuck out of him. And
the crowd would love it.
Crowd would love it. Yeah. I think you might have. I think you're onto it. I think, yeah, Bobby Lashley is pissed the fuck off. And then Baron Corbin comes out and he starts complaining that at least I can't even, you know, like Baron Corbin will maybe act like he agrees with Bobby Lashley, but then Bobby Lashley beats the fuck out of him.
Because you do have guys like Elias, and you got the other singing, the guy who looks like Ted Arcidi.
Rick Boogs.
Yeah, not over, again, not over. Not, Baron Corbin is, it's funny because people would say, oh, Baron Corbin is go away heat. But that's the whole point, to have him out there and Bobby Lashley would get cheered. And that would be a WrestleMania moment, give him an epic beatdown. I mean, at this point, that's what Corbin is almost used for, cannon fodder. And I don't hear any rumors about Corbin actually getting released. So why not utilize Corbin? You know, the guys are, you know, talking about, you know, he and him and Lashley used to be down together. So, yeah, that could make sense.
Yeah, that makes the sense. I actually like that idea. I think that makes the most sense of them all. We could even have a kind of an intertwine. Maybe they tease Bray Wyatt and Uncle Howdy comes out there and Bobby Lashley beats him down so quickly. Or maybe the reverse. Maybe Bobby beats the shit out of Corbin. And then before Lashley, you know, exits the ring, then maybe Uncle Howdy shows up or the lights go out or something. I just have a feeling we may see something related to the Bray Wyatt storyline. I just personally think if you come and go from WrestleMania without even the Uncle Howdy appearance, I don't know where you go with that storyline, man. I mean, talk about that's a colossal failure. I mean, it's a shame. I love Bray Wyatt. I have more merch with Bray Wyatt over the last couple of years than probably anybody else. But I almost feel, and I don't want to see him sick, but I almost feel like if he had the serious illness that we feared that he did, I almost feel like he should make it known. I mean, it's none of our business, but I think if we learn what actually happened to him, I think people would be like, you know what, man, you know, it sucks that it happened to him right before WrestleMania, but at least we know what happened and get well soon and this and that. I think people would have a little bit more sympathy for the guy. Right now, nobody has sympathy because they just feel like he picked up his ball and went home. You know, and I think maybe, you know, knowing what actually happened to him may actually help. It may help with him when he returns.
Yeah, that's, again, as I said at the beginning of this show we're doing, what I like about it is not knowing everything and the element of surprise. We had some nice surprises last year. I love the two nights. You know, it should be fun, man. Let's have fun. I'm looking forward to the Hall of Fame, too. I do have to work on Friday night, so I'll have to catch the Hall of Fame the next day. Because I know it airs on Friday night after SmackDown.
Yeah.
By the way, do you think they're adding anybody else, or are they just sticking with the four?
You know, I hope that they add at least one more person. I think they're going to add at least one more person. I think, you know, Ray being the headliner, I'm fine with. I'm still surprised. I wonder if there's more going on between WWE and Batista that, you know, why is it such a big deal for him to just accept the fucking award?
About, okay, The Rock can't be there, but why not Batista?
Yeah, something's going on there. But you know what? Hopefully they give us one more person. If they don't, you know, at least the ones who are getting it will get more time. I mean, Andy obviously is no longer with us, but, you know, we still don't know if Jerry Lawler's going to be able to go. Maybe it's Jimmy Hart that accepts it, but, you know, we'll see. But, you know, I hope everybody enjoys WrestleMania. As far as those hearing this, as far as shows that I'm going to do between now and Monday's Raw, the Raw after WrestleMania, I'm going to do a quick recap of Stand and Deliver Saturday afternoon, so at least there's some recap online. But WrestleMania 39, you know, as we said earlier, we make it official, WrestleMania 39 recap, we will do it here, Kev and I, next Tuesday, 10 o'clock p.m. I know it'll be it'll be 2 days after WrestleMania concludes, but it'll only be less than 24 hours after the Raw after WrestleMania goes down.
Be able to cover not only everything, but the fallout and the notes that comes around.
Absolutely.
Where everyone else is going to the show. So, yeah, I like the Tuesday thing, and I get why people voted for that. because they were probably thinking that we can pepper in some other news that breaks that's going to play into the future of this company. So
yeah, and who knows? We may end up getting an outcome at Mania and then get a rematch or something crazy happen on that Raw, and it totally like negates everything that happened at Mania. So we will be here. We'll do the same setup as last week and this week. We'll put it here on Patreon for everyone to enjoy beforehand, and then we'll release it to everybody on DonTony.com later on in the week. But cool. Kev, you know, fun again, and enjoy WrestleMania. Have a great time. Work, you know, make that money. You know, I'm going to enjoy WrestleMania as well. And, you know, we will definitely pick up on this conversation next Tuesday.
Absolutely. And this Thursday, of course, I'll be back for the Patreons for Castle Chronicles.
Are you doing any recaps with Soup over the weekend with WrestleMania?
I got a Soup show. No, I do Soup show every Wednesday with Mish Wednesday afternoon at 3:15. We cover all the news tidbits that go on throughout wrestling. I'm sure we'll talk about some WrestleMania stuff, but we usually cover a lot of the news bits and from all over the place, AEW, all that stuff. So we do a lot of breaking news shit on that show. Okay. So I'm on that show tomorrow with Mish at 3:15 on the Soup side of things. Then back here for the Patreons for DTKC on Thursday night. Well, we'll talk about, because people wanted to know if I was going to talk about the shooting in Nashville. We'll get into all that stuff on the Chronicles. You know, it's not just a wrestling show. We'll talk about all the social shit that's going on now in the news on Thursday night. We'll get into that Thursday. And, yeah, everybody enjoy WrestleMania. DT, I'll see you back here next Tuesday for the recap.
Very good. Have a good one. Enjoy the weekend.
Peace, man. You too.
Be well. All right, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this WrestleMania 39 preview and predictions. I am Don Tony, bidding you farewell. Definitely send your feedback. Send your predictions. You know, anything we say. Was there anything we said tonight that struck a nerve that you wholeheartedly disagree with, agree with? You know, let us know. Speak up. This is the beauty about wrestling. When we truly don't know some of the outcomes, you know, that's when wrestling is at its best. You know, wrestling could be very predictable at times as well, but as long as what we're seeing is really, really strong, you know, it doesn't matter. But for me, not knowing outcomes is even greater. But I am so looking forward to WrestleMania 39. You know, I hope you are as well. I hope both nights are spectacular, and we will definitely recap WrestleMania 39 and the Raw after WrestleMania next Tuesday on Patreon, and then it'll be released for everyone. I might release it maybe next Wednesday, you know, get it out there for everybody a little bit sooner. You know, we'll see. We'll see how Stand and Deliver ends up. I mean, a lot of surprises are supposed to happen over there as well. But, you know, everyone be well. Enjoy WrestleMania. All the best to you. And I hope you could join us for your WrestleMania 39 recap, which will take place next week. And then the end of next week, I am on vacation for a few days. Much love, everyone. Be well. Catch you all again soon.
Yes. That was cool. Yeah.